Rangers. This is Phil Harris here at the Jax Rangers show. I am joined with Diamond Dave. Dave, how the hell are you?
I'm Jackalicious, Phil. How you doing?
Excellent. This is our Chicago review. But before we get too far into that, I have to mention our sponsor. I'm contractually obligated to mention our sponsor, but I would do it regardless. This is, of course, Inkify. Inkify is sponsoring this and every single episode of the Jax Rangers Show, custom printing and embroidery since 2010. Inkify provides high-quality decorated apparel nationwide, from ordering the apparel to printing, adding a private label, folding, bagging, and fulfillment. They handle it all, so you don't have to. Visit Inkify.com to get started on your order. Carlos will help you out with every single step in the process. And if you tell him TJRS sent you, you'll get 15% off of your first order. Or actually, your entire order. It doesn't matter if it's your first, third, fifth, whatever order it is. You'll get 15% off if you mention us, TJRS. And that is a hell of a deal. Dave, where did you watch the game at?
I stayed right at home and had a great time in my living room watching with my family.
Nice. That's awesome. So Bozo, of course, and I were at the Granite Bunker. We're going to get into that that crazy tale here shortly. But I wanted to mention, I wanted to give a shout out to our Seacoast Rangers out there who had a great crowd at Locals Restaurant in Northampton, New Hampshire. We were able to briefly tune in at the Granite Bunker during the watch along with Ranger John, and you could tell there were a lot of people in the background, quite a bit of a ruckus and loud crowd, which is exactly what you want for a Free Jacks watch along there. You know, this is separate from the club that does their thing closer to the Boston Quincy area, which is great. You know, the players that aren't selected in the 23 go to that. So if you're in that area or you're able to make it out, I highly recommend going to those. But there are other, you know, branches popping up of, like, you know, chapters, if you will, of watch-alongs that's taking place, and of course, if you're just hanging out by yourself, or you're home, you're not able to make it to the watch-alongs, make sure you tune into the Jax Rangers show, because we do have watch-alongs that normally go on without a hitch, that take place every single away game, and we'll get into that momentarily. I wanted to report that Colonel Kenny reported that the Expeditionary Forces had 6 Rangers on hand at SeatGeek Stadium, including our guy Buzzy. If you haven't been to an away trip, you're missing out. I highly recommend it. Would check into maybe DC, probably the closest one to us. That's going to take place in June. I know a lot of Rangers are going to that one. I'm actually going to that one and the Miami game, even though I said that I probably wasn't doing any away trips. It's Philly away days over here, man. I can't stay away. I can't, you know, puff my chest out and be that Free Jacks fan at away games. I love it. It's such a good time. Really enjoyed going down there to Charlotte. And just really, really excited for those away trips as well. Are you going to go to any, Dave?
I don't think that I am. We actually were planning to go to New York again and kind of make that a tradition to go down to that New York game. So we'd love to see New York come back just to have that rivalry close by. It's real convenient if you're like, we want to do an away game, but also we don't want to fly anywhere. You know, I want to drive somewhere easy. Sure. Yeah. No, I don't think we're going to catch any away games this year. I actually tried to time an April break trip to catch a DC game.
Okay.
Down at their field. I said, I'd go to a DC game just to check out that stadium. It sounds like, aside from not having bathrooms, it's really great. That's a pretty big asterisk on a stadium. I actually feel for DC. They put out a statement where they were like, listen, the venue, like, triple promised we would have bathrooms, and they just completely screwed it up. Like, it's outside DC's control.
Literally.
The venue screwed them. Yeah, they got porta potties, but they're like, sorry about the porta potties. It's like a brand. It's a newly renovated stadium, but, you know, renovated, maybe renovating. Anyway, we were going to go check it out because it actually looks, bathrooms are important, but it looks like a really nice stadium. It's good quality grass. I love the way that they've got, like, behind the end goal, the sloping green. You see, like, I was like, oh, my kids would love that, you know, hang around, roll around in the grass. So looks like a good spot, but we're not going to make it. But I think that's kind of close to our top of our list for next trip, if
very good.
Maybe a DC trip.
I'm sure that New York will find its way back into MLR at some point in the near future. It's one of those things where we used to say, you have to have LA and you have to have Chicago to be a legitimate professional sports league in the United States. Well, now that New York is vacant again, or now they are vacant, we can say that that is also one that you absolutely have to have. You have to have those three big TV markets. And New York not being in the league is one of those things. It's like it's only temporary. There, somebody's gonna put the money up to have a New York franchise. It's just a matter of time, and hopefully they can execute better and be more successful because that rivalry is so important, that Boston slash New England New York rivalry. Anywho, what else we got on here? Let's bring it back to my start strong key to the game from the review, the preview rather. The Granite Bunker had a slow start with old Robbie Two Tries, or two teams, excuse me, Rob Hammerschmidt not making it onto the pregame, which meant Bozo and I had to cover 30 minutes of a pregame. Then the technical difficulties started and continued until about the 20 minutes left in the game. We appreciate all the Rangers that stuck it out with that disaster that took place. The bye week couldn't have come at a better time to sort out the bugs at the Granite Bunker. My understanding is Bozo got a Roku like stick thing, so hopefully that will improve things with regard to all of that. But yeah, Bozo fixed technical issues by purchasing a Roku stick, literally watching in the bunker right now. That's fantastic. Thanks, Bozo, for
Perfect.
making that commitment to making sure everything's improved for the future watch-alongs. The idea is we're going to do every single away game at the Granite Bunker from here on out, this season and hopefully well beyond that, God willing. So yeah, man, super excited for those. Let's get into the game because that was also very, very exciting. And I'm pulling this directly from the New England Free Jacks website here. It is the write-up for them instead of America's Rugby News this week. It says, 4 games into the 2024 Major League Rugby season, the New England Free Jacks are again proving they belong atop the MLR's Eastern Conference. They lived up to their reputation on Sunday, besting the Chicago Hounds 22-17 at SeatGeek Stadium in Chicagoland, following a 27-21 victory over a NOLA squad on their home turf last week. The Free Jacks were ready for round four, where the Hounds hosted their first home game. SeatGeek Stadium was sure to invoke positive memories for the Free Jacks, as their previous appearance at this venue was during the MLR Championship last July, which of course they won. Here's a quote here. "We've made a habit of coming out of the blocks slow the past couple weeks, a trend we will need to rectify this week. We will need to address our breakdown and general physicality in order to give ourselves the opportunity we're looking for," said head coach Scott Matthey. I mean, if that's not start strong as a key to the game, I don't know what is. Reversing our slow start trend was in evidence as Jason Potter scored the first try and conversion of the match to make it 7-0 at 17 minutes. Chicago responded with a push down the field that led to a Reese McDonald yellow card and a penalty try to the Hounds, evening the score at 7-7. Although the Free Jacks were left with 14 players, that didn't stop Patras and Danyon Morgan Puterangi, who teamed up for a try off a midfield line at 37 minutes. Going into the halftime, the Free Jacks led the Hounds 12-7. And this is something that we were able to watch, I believe, on the big screen there. And I just absolutely went apeshit when this took place. And I said it on the watch along. When you're down to 14 men, you've got a yellow card for your team, and you score a try, that's like top of Mount Everest stuff. That's like scoring on a penalty kill in hockey. Like, it's pretty rare, and it's something that should be celebrated because it shouldn't technically happen. And when that takes place, you're on a damn good rugby team if you can execute that well when you're down one player and still score. What was your thoughts at halftime, and what stood out for you in the first half?
One thing that was really interesting in the first half was the way the scrum battle went. In the first couple of scrums, the Free Jacks got penalized just two right in a row, right? And we've been talking about, a little bit of questioning around our scrum and whether we can hang with some of the beefier teams
yep.
that are really pressuring in that area. And you know, I was watching and it just never looks right when a scrum goes down that quickly,
yep.
right? When you get just beat in the scrum, you get beat because the other team is tighter, lower, and harder, right? Mm-hmm. Like they are scrummaging just better technically than you can for whatever reason on that particular scrum. It doesn't mean they're going to beat you like that every time. It just means like that time they got it, their timing, everything's working. And what happens is you get driven back, you get driven up.
Yep.
You might pop, you know, the front row might pop up. The scrum might just get driven back and fall apart. It might get driven back and wheel, and any of that you might get penalized for, right?
Yep.
But usually if it just goes down immediately, it's not that you got beat. It's that something's wrong. And what it looked like to me when I rewatched it is that on those first couple scrums, Zhvanya, the Georgian mm-hmm. loosehead for Chicago, I think he collapses them immediately. If you watch his left arm on the set, they come together and then his elbow kind of tips down. And usually it's the tight head whose elbow you watch. And if their elbow comes down, they're cranking the loose head around and,
yes.
and compromising the loose head's body position, right? But in this case, it's the loose head. And it looks like he's pulling Cole Keith towards him and down and actually like driving him down.
To right? collapse the scrum.
To collapse the scrum. Like to yes. not to win the scrum, but to cause the whole thing to drop. And after the first one, the camera, you know, you get the camera shot as they're like shuffling around getting ready for the next scrum, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see, I think it's Billy Meeks go over and like Zhvanya gets this shit-eating grin on his face and like nods and says something and then high fives Meeks. You know, they do like the bro clasp.
Yep.
And then they get set for the next scrum. That's after the first penalty's been awarded. Sorry. Like they get the penalty and they're like, what? And he's like, oh yeah, hell yeah. And like, yeah, you celebrate every penalty, but man, that's sus. Like he is, you know, just,
I talked about this on the watch along with Bozo. Like most referees are backs, right? They're retired backs.
Yeah.
And they're not the best observers of scrummaging because they never were a part of it to begin with. They're not front row guys. So I was kind of throwing some banter out there that like referees have no fucking idea what goes on in the scrum. And they're just kind of guessing what should be a penalty or not. That is just me being silly. But at the same time, Bozo caught up on that boring end that you're referring to. And the referee just took the bait twice, right? With the
yeah, bait. And Bozo's talking about their tight head boring in, which would be a separate issue, right? Mm-hmm. And that could be the case as well. Like, yeah. I think that in those first couple scrums, like they didn't get beat, they got out cheated, which is like, that's the scrum. That's part of why it's fun. You
it's
know,
like
it's the dark arts. Arts. It's the game within a game. I know it frustrates some people and it can seem kind of opaque, but like, man, it's everything I love about the scrum. You know, Zhvanya drops the first one. He drops the second one. They get another penalty. And it's like, why not keep doing it? Yeah. I 100% would. If I had the other prop beat in some way where I was like, oh, if I just cheat in this particular fashion, he's going to look bad. And I'm going to get the penalty. So why stop? Just keep doing it. The third time he finally gets dinged, the penalty goes the other way. And that's when it's like, the gig is up. But that's kind of how it went the rest of the scrums as well. There were a bunch of scrum penalties and there were very few of them were because one team got just overpowered in the scrum. It did pop up one or two times, but both when that happened, the ball was playable. It was just play on. It was really interesting to watch the scrums in this game and to see how they were refereed and what the different outcomes were. If you're somebody who's trying to learn about the scrum or if it's interesting to you, I would really encourage you to rewatch the Chicago game mm-hmm. and watch how those scrums go and like go back and watch each one of the scrums. Just use the like 10-second back feature. And just watch them a couple times each, you know, and just try to look for what happens. There's another one where I think it's in the second half. where Cole Keith's knee goes down, because he's trying to like keep the scrum from collapsing mm-hmm. when there's something wrong with the engage.
Mm.
Right. And he's overextended. Maybe that Chicago's not coming forward. Something you can do is like change how far you're going in so that your opposition can't get their distance right. You know, it looked like that on that play where he was just, he got overextended for some reason. And then he tried to save it with his knee and he actually fixed it. But the ref dinged him anyway and just said, nope, saw your knee hit the ground. That was the first thing that went wrong. So, which is fair. It's a fair way to call it.
Right.
Even if, you know, even if what I mean by it's fair is like he cheated fair and square. The other guy got away with it because he made, you know, referees have to look for these indicators. There's 16 dudes in that scrum. Right, it's 8-on-8. It's a lot of guys. There's a lot happening mechanically, and you have to just look for certain indicators to try to figure out. And that's partially what enables the cheating, is you can make your opponent do something that looks like they couldn't take the weight, or they lost their footing, or you know something that is, you know, just like technical, but is a penalty. Like if that, mm-hmm. you're expected not to have that happen, you might get like a reset. You know, if the ref's feeling generous and think, oh, you know, your spike slipped, whatever, not your fault, we'll just reset it. Yep. But if it's like, you just fell, like you screwed up, you're going to get penalized.
Right. Every time you say the word cheating, in my mind, Colonel Kenny is doing his little chant, which I love, by the way. I think we should do it every single time where there's a little bit of heart, like dark art stuff going on. It's same old Chicago, always cheating. I love that one so much. It's so much fun. Yeah, that's such perfect. A good one. Let's get to the chat here real quick. Update, pitcher is smooth, no lagging, sound is silky, can't wait for the next away match. Same here, Bozo. Is at one point we were going through these technical difficulty, I was just thinking in my mind, like, oh, hello darkness, my old friend. Like, you can hear in my voice how defeated I was. It kind of got settled, you know, it was like 20 minutes ago, and we got back in that rhythm, but it was a tough one for sure. Bozo said, just rewatched it and he did it, then didn't, then did it again in the first three scrums there. All right. Ranger James checking in has entered the chat. Huzzah. Every game is closer this year. Free Jack's a little worse than last year, or opponents just significantly better. I think the opponents are better. I don't think this team has had a huge drop off whatsoever. With the talent that we brought in is good. We retain so many guys. So I think they're just the opponents. And he does, too. He agrees with us there. Let's get back to the article. Okay. Following the break, a Patras penalty kick increased the Jacks' lead 15-7. Chicago reduced the deficit with a penalty kick, tightening the score to 15-10 with 10 minutes to play. 5 minutes later, the Free Jacks pushed the lead to 12 points with a Malachi Hala score when a Malika Hala, that's how it's written, folks, scored a try by Chicago in the last minute narrowed the final margin to 22-17. Patras was named the player of the match for contributing 15 out of the Free Jacks 22 points. Fellow Kiwi Hala added to the only other points to the game. Following the win, the Free Jacks hold a 3-1 record, maintaining their position at the top of the Eastern Conference standings with 15 points. Nola Gold remains close with a 15-point tally. So we're tied, but we have the point differential because we have a substantial point differential of 43 points in favor of plus. We're going into a bye week. The Free Jacks next play at home on Saturday, April the 6th at Veterans Memorial Stadium in Quincy, Massachusetts against the fifth place Miami Sharks, who got their first win against Healthcare RFC over the weekend. That's going to be a 4:30 kickoff. You know, what happened at the end there, as soon as Hala scored, I was like, it's over. There was 5 minutes left. Bozo was like, whoa, not so fast, my friend. And he was right about that. It got a little bit squeaky bum time there at the end. What was your thoughts in the second half?
It was interesting. I thought probably the most interesting thing that happened in the second half was Carlson moving into 10 and Meeks moving to 12, where yep. they kind of moved on from the Billy Meeks experiment.
Yes.
I thought we did a really good job with a lot of things throughout the match. Mm-hmm. But certainly areas we need to improve on too. But I thought our line speed was really good, and that helped us shut Meeks down. Like, if you have a guy out of position, only kind of out of position. I mean, we got to respect the skill he's got, but he does look better as a 12 than a 10. It seems at this point.
Yeah.
At this point in the season, you gotta. Mm-hmm. I would be ready to move on. How do you pressure that guy? Well, get in his face, right? Make it even harder. Attack the skills that he's lacking. The decision-making, the vision, the stuff that makes it, like, really hard to play 10, right?
I imagine that was a really easy gameplay for, you know, a seasoned coach, coach of the year, Scott Matthew, to figure out, like, oh, this guy's playing out of position. He's a really good center. He's an okay 10. Let's put pressure on him, right?
Yeah. And they did. I mean, the it was the first half, but, like, the Connor Keys just pluck, where he just takes the ball out of his hands. They just
so good.
It's like a chest splash. It's like a wrestling move. They just kind of slap chests, and that causes Meeks to kind of pause. And Keys just goes, thank you, reaches down, takes the ball, and runs. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It was kind of representative of how that went. So I thought that was good. We competed at the breakdown really hard. We were very physical. That Matthew quote you read at the beginning about the game plan also included that, right? And we saw it. They won a lot of collisions. The forwards, Patros gave him credit in his MVP chat at the end of the match. The forwards really stepped up. And when your forwards can hit the gain line, they were working well in pairs, right? Where you'd have a guy latched on and just driving as soon as you make contact. You got two dudes. It gives you positive momentum. The defense has to retreat a little bit. The nine can come in and get the ball quickly and get the next play going. It's really, really positive for your phase play, unless you do much more stuff offensively.
Right.
It really just empowers your attack. I thought that was really good. They also, defensively, they listened to the ref really well. There were a bunch of times where they were competing for the ball, and the referee was really communicative and saying, like, no, leave it, hands off, you know, stuff like that. And guys really responded to that. Mm-hmm. And in, like, every instance where it's not uncommon in rugby that you go for the ball and then you know, for various reasons, you can't get the ball anymore. Maybe you're a legal jackler, you're there first, nobody's touched you. You go for the ball, but you just kind of, like, whiff, or the player is still presenting the ball and you don't quite get your hands on it. I mean, that's a whole skill set, right? Making the ball hard to poach when you get tackled without cheating too much that you get called for it. And so, like, maybe you whiff and then you get your hands on the ball, but, like, right before you do, somebody comes and hits you in the ruck. And now you've actually been rucked before you got your hands on it, and you can't steal the ball anymore. But the referee knows that, like, you almost got it, and they're liable to say, like, hands away.
Yes.
And tell you, like, let go of the ball. It was like, I'm telling you that it's a
margin. Or they'll just say no. No red.
Yeah, that's the best. No, and you know they're talking to you.
Yep.
And in all of those kinds of instances, of which there were a fair number, Freejax did a really good job of responding to the referee. And even though the penalty count was pretty high, it was 12, part of that was because the scrums were a mess. And there were just a lot of penalties on both sides in the scrums. I think it was 12 penalties to each team in the game. And I was actually pretty impressed with the discipline the team showed. Like, the defensive discipline we talked about, coming off the line consistently to meet Meeks and shut down the Chicago attacks. They really couldn't get much going. And the discipline around the breakdown. I thought those were both really positive.
I mean, what has our observations been about this team that's been lacking all season? A little bit of physicality and ill discipline. So it seems like we corrected some of that stuff in this game, which allowed us to beat a good Chicago team on the road. That's very, very important. You know, we've been good the past two seasons on the road. It didn't really matter who we were facing off against. We can get the job done. And when we're correcting errors like that we've observed, I think it puts us in a better position because we have the talent on the pitch, right? It's just a matter of getting some of that stuff cleaned up. And that's what they were able to do.
And I think at this point in the season, like, what you're trying to do as a coach, you can't get everybody to do everything right all at once and then maintain it. Like, obviously, if you could, you'd love to. And maybe that's what coaches try to do. But I think you have to try to get everybody out there pulling in the same direction, right? And then you got to tweak it and fix it. And no, I need you to do this. Let's get you doing this. You know, let's make sure we're doing this. Let's prioritize this over that. And you got to make those changes. You got to get mindset changes. Hey, guys, we got to be more physical. That was clearly a note going into this week.
No doubt.
And what you aim for is that when you fix something, it stays fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And then next week you fix another thing and you add that on. So like if we have that breakdown discipline and that line speed on defense and also Jason Patro's ability to create tries out of nothing to just like reach into the garbage and pull out a rugby ball and then run. I mean, they came off of like a blown line out, our line out, which we like had an error on, which is something we need to fix. Our line outs weren't precise enough. It just like bounced off the deck and he just, you know, fished up the ball and ran it in for a try. No big deal. Whatever. The other came off a long run on a scrum, you know, a scrum that was like looking weird and wonky, but Conradi fished it out the back and helped get it started.
Forward of the year.
Fortunately we can do that, right? We're right now the set piece is a little bit shaky, but we're creating things anyway off of it because we've got the talent to do it.
Right.
As we improve that set piece, we just add that additional tool to the toolbox, right? Another thing that is going to be get fixed and stay fixed. I think that's partially a takeaway from this week, like something I would like to see going into the Miami game. Could be an opportunity to really tune up our forward stuff. We've seen it in the loose. Now we need to see it get tightened up a little bit in the set piece. But it was a fun game to watch. I think maybe because we led the whole time, it didn't feel as close as it really was.
Yes.
Either of those blown tries, hilariously blown tries, pretty. it's a good rewatch. It really is. It's kind of stop start. But I feel like if you know that going in, and that's one of the reasons you're watching, is to like see all the breakdowns and discipline and the set piece weirdness. Mm-hmm. That you know, it makes it kind of fun. But it's got its funny moments, you know.
It does
Carney just like, as the ball comes out of his hand and you just see his face, and it was like he didn't know if he was gonna offload or keep it, and he kind of tried to do both, and it just meant the ball just kind of went tumbling out of his hand.
That's a tough one for sure.
It was hilarious, but I mean, credit to Balakana and Von Dadelson, who are the two guys who made those cover tackles to stop those tries. If they don't get in there and make those, like, you know, shoelace tackles, then those are both tries.
Yeah.
And we lose by, you know, at least 5 points.
Yeah, I mean, it's that dirty work that that overall, you know, it's a small moment in the game, but it's necessary to capture the win for sure. You know, it's one of those things that, like, if you rewatch the game, you'll notice it's at a lot of points in the game, it's just like, we get the ball, we can't capitalize. They get the ball, they can't capitalize. And I said it over and over again in the watch along because it really needed to be reiterated. Like, does anybody want to capitalize on this game? Does anybody want to create a distant lead on the other team? Like, it was wild to watch. I mean, it was just back and forth, back and forth. And thankfully, the Free Jacks came out on top of this one. I will say that Kenny mentioned this one in the comments somewhere along the way. He said, 3 games in a row, we've given up a try in the last 2 minutes. Yeah. That's not good. That's not good. That has to be.
We gotta close them out. You just can't make a habit of that.
Mm-hmm. Got to have that killer mentality, man. I feel like that was kind of a thing last year that we kind of needed to work out. I remember thinking that at least one or two of my key to the games was like killer mentality or finish or something like that. Yeah, so don't let off the gas, you know, all of that sort of stuff. I mean, it is, we're critiquing a win. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things where like, we're like microscope, like what's the problem here? There's not necessarily a problem because a dub's a dub. Right. But we know that I've said it since the preseason, everybody's better than they used to be, parity within this league, yada, 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 yada. Everybody's good. So we have to make sure we're firing on all of these cylinders to win games. It's not like we're going to beat somebody by 80 points anymore. Like, those days are gone. This is a new MLR. It's 2024. We're the reigning champions, but that was July of last year. So let's focus on what's going on right now. And with that being said, let's head over to the musket size pants tent. I wasn't blown away with any of the players on Chicago, to be honest. That probably has something to do with the technical difficulties we had with the watch along. I didn't see much of the game. I'm going to pick the only hound that I've met in person, and that is Mark O'Keefe, former awesome Jabroni, former Atlanta Peach, and former New York Comet deleter. He is 6'1", 220 pounds, Irish wing slash center. Him and Bryce Campbell are terrors on the center line for Chicago. I met him during the America's Rugby Premiership, I think back in 2022. He was injured, but he was along with, I want to say, Nyack. And Buzzy introduced me to him. Good dude, great rugby player. I'm surprised he's been such a journeyman because he's really, really good at what he does. Yeah, hopefully he stays in Chicago for a long time. Getting a bit, I think late 20s at this point, but he is a very, very good player. I'll let you go with MVP.
All right. I have to assume that you picked a certain fly half for your MVP.
Yes.
So I'm zagging a little bit. Just because, you know, we've played a lot of laurels at the feet of Jason Patros. He had an amazing game. He really did. He generated a lot of points. He's kind of the reason we won.
Yes.
But a lot of the electricity came from Danyon Morgan Puturangi. They were saying Puturangi with the soft G. I thought it was a hard G.
A hard G as well.
I'm going to ask somebody at the Free Jacks because we want to get his name right, obviously.
Of course.
But,
of course.
He really was electric. He was busting his ass.
Sure
he had several really long runs. He ran for 161 meters total in the match, and his work rate was really good. He also was doing stuff like cleaning up balls on the deck. He is somebody who's really put his hand up. I talked at the beginning of the season about we really don't know who among these new players is going to be the guy who's like, me, it's me. I'm going to be out there.
Right.
And he seems to be making a really strong case for himself.
100%.
I thought he had a fantastic match. His speed and his acceleration are nuts. Every time he comes in the screen, he seems to be moving faster than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, he's doing a lot. He's really fun to watch. I hope he keeps working his way into the lineup. Even though it's coming at the expense of some of our favorites, right? Like him,
right?
Mitch Wilson, Paula Balakana, those guys as a little, you know, triangle of first choice wings seems pretty fantastic. So I'm excited to have him really joining that, seeming to be joining that you know, wing back three post along with those other really excellent players we have. So I went with Danyon Puturangi.
I think that's an excellent choice. His acceleration is for real, man. Like, he is super fast. And a lot of people's been given flowers to Filimone, who was traded away to Nolan, has had an excellent two games back-to-back there. And he's a great player, bit different than Danyon's skill set and stuff like that. But I will say that Danyon has done a fantastic job. He was a real difference maker in that Chicago game for sure. For me, it is Potty. I wanted to give this one to the pride of Manawatu, and that's Malachi Hala, who bagged a try on debut. But for the second week in a row, it's Jason Potty Patras, who has had two excellent games since a little bit of a shaky start, two tries and contributing 15 out of the 21 points. Potty is my Inkify MVP. Well deserved once again. And I understand, like, well, we can't, you know, just continue to let him have a clean sweep for 2 weeks in a row. But I was totally, and I think he's deserving of it for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I understand why you would want to select somebody else. And Danyon did a fantastic job. You know, an assist is not really a thing in rugby, it's not really counted like other sports like hockey and whatnot. But he definitely assisted on one of those tries for Jason.
Yeah.
Yep. Any closing thoughts? You know, obviously we don't have a preview this week because it is a Free Jacks bye week. And by the way, a lot of the players and a lot of these guys that aren't from around this area, they have a strong draw to New York City, which is perfectly fine. You got to see it at least once. But I every time they post something about being in New York City on their stories, I'm sending them a little vomit emoji because that place is trash. Any closing thoughts?
Viancarotti had 15 carries, 22 tackles. In a game of rugby, you're lucky if you have a game with 40 minutes of ball in play time. And I promise you that we had less than that with all the stoppages we had in this match. That means that with 37 carries and tackles combined, he was either carrying the ball or tackling the guy with the ball every minute that the ball was in play, the entire match. Viancarotti's a machine. Yes, and the players on other teams have bad dreams about him when they have to play the Free Jacks. That's my parting thought.
He's the best forward in this league. Like it's not like some sort of, you know, gimmick that he won forward of the year last year. It's not some sort of gimmick that he won fans player of the year. Dude, he's a monster. And I said this at the beginning of the season. He has no business being an MLR. It's great for the Free Jacks that he's still here, but he could play practically anywhere in the world, man. He really could.
Yeah, he's really something special. He's a lot of fun to watch. I easily could have used the stats to justify giving him MVP this week, I think.
Yeah, totally. Totally, and it would have been well-deserved as well. Obviously, we got this bye week, so everybody rest up. You know, enjoy spending time with the family, whatever you're doing, you know, when you're not watching rugby. But yeah, and we'll be back. Obviously, we've got a very, very special interview this Thursday that I wanted to mention. Caleb Geiger makes his first appearance on TJRS, our new prop, formerly of New York, but we won't hold that against him too much. Just an absolute unit out there. Can't wait to talk to him at 9 p.m. Eastern time this Thursday, which is the 28th of March. And then free weekend. I'm sure some people will be watching the other rugby games. As we know, famously, I don't watch the other teams. So yeah, I'll find something else to do. But with that being said, I've got one word to exit the video in 3, 2, 1, huzzah!